autism can be a scary word and one that parents are hearing more and more. But after the initial diagnosis, the difficulties with finding the right schools and educational programs, and the toll it takes on the whole family looms, something far more uncertain and perhaps even terrifying: what happens when my child grows up? In her new book, Autism Adulthood: Strategies and Insights for a Fulfilling Life, Susan Senator takes the mystery out of adult life on the autism spectrum and conveys the message that even though autism adulthood is complicated and challenging, there are many ways to make it manageable and enjoyable. Susan Senator is a writer, an activist, and the mother of three boys. Her books include Making Peace with Autism and the Autism Mom Survival Guide. Her son, Nat, now in his 20s, was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3, and she's been advocating for people with autism ever since. We welcome Susan Senator to the roundtable this morning. Susan, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, the pleasure's mine.
What brought you to want to write this book and to present such a guide?
I think that I started writing the book in my head and thinking about it when my son, Nat, who's 26 now, was going through transition from high school to adulthood. And I realized that I don't really know what I'm doing. And as I learned, I realized that the parents just coming up behind me didn't know what they were doing in terms of preparing. And I felt like I should start writing something. And I blogged about it and then kind of put it together into this book project.
As I mentioned, you've written about this before, Making Peace with Autism and the Autism Mom's Survival Guide. So as your child goes into adulthood, how much of it is starting fresh and how much of it is really an expansion of what you've already known and learned?
Ideally, it's going to be an expansion, but since there's such a disconnect between school services and what you can get as an adult, there is a big learning curve. There is more that you have to learn, particularly about the options in terms of daytime pursuits, occupation, job, and also living. What kind of living housing you're going to be in, what kind of supports you might need, that kind of thing. So you have to start planning pretty far ahead of turning 22 or 21. But hopefully your planning has helped you by the time your child is 22 and that to have some kind of plan and it won't be all unfamiliar.
You talk in the book about, I think you use the word quite a few times, of which is creating and creating it. So if it isn't there, an opportunity, a situation that is good for the adult that we're talking about, then you have to create it.
Right. So when I was writing the book, I learned a lot more from older parents who've been there about self-determination, which is the movement throughout the country for people with disabilities in general to decide for themselves what their life is going to look like in adulthood. And so what we're finding is there are the public funds that are usually allotted to people depending on their level of need. And in the past, you would go into a program that was already set up. And still, those programs exist, and they're of varying quality. But I've found more and more that there are also small cottage industries springing up everywhere of families who are using some of the self-direction funds. And with their loved one, their autistic loved one, they are setting up perhaps a small business. And they use a service providing agency to run it to help them do maybe the paperwork and or whatever hiring has to be done. But it's basically a business created around the skills of this person.
And part of it is finding those people, right? And I guess this is where you talk about an expansion of expanding the network of the people who assist you in the various facets of life.
Right. I think that one of the hardest problems of all in autism adulthood is finding the caregivers and the staff. Definitely people that you trust, people who are well-trained. It's harder because post-22, there isn't the same degree of training and expertise expected as they have in the school systems. So really, families and service providers have to become kind of creative in finding people. So I found parents I interviewed had found church groups to help them. They had recruited, you can recruit from local colleges, community colleges, you know, anybody who's pursuing a profession in education, occupational therapy, physical therapy, all of them are going to need experience working with our guys, with people on the autism spectrum. And this is a great way for them to get the experience and us to get the caregiver.
When you look at the caregiver, and I assume for you as a parent, you also have to make a determination of what your level of participation can be and you want it to be, right?
Right. That's why, as I mentioned before, there are organizations that provide all levels of support. They're usually nonprofits that provide everything from family support, workshops, to staff, to group home staff or job coaches. So you can use your child's funding can go to that agency, and they will organize with him, with your child, you know, basically all facets of his life. You can decide that you want to do more of it. Perhaps you want to help him get work in a local bakery. You might help him get the job, and the service provider might provide a job coach or someone to oversee his work. So, yeah, you could really be involved as much or as little as you want, but I recommend more involvement because that's really how you keep the best oversight.
And that oversight is important. I mean, that oversight is really the key word because it's not something that you set up and then walk away from. You have to have that continual oversight.
Right. I mean, I'm always walking the line between being too intrusive and giving them their space and being respectful of their home, you know, of my son's home. And he's living with a caregiver right now who's close to his age. So it's just the two roommates, basically. And I really can't just barge in. So I just keep close contact with them. I text with the caregiver all the time. If I set up any kind of, if I find, like, I found a cooking class recently and the caregiver takes him to it. And, you know, we also share. I take Nat home, my son home on the weekends and give the caregiver some time off. There's all kinds of things that families can work out with these caregivers to make the job more doable and more, rewarding. You have to think of it as a relationship, though.
And what if a parent says, I don't trust that caregiver or anyone, I want to take care of my own child?
Well, there are people who say that. I have plenty of friends in this community who do want to do that. Their adult child might not have lived away from home, and, you know, they want to keep them there. And, you know, that's fine. Then what you have to do is at your team meetings, try to negotiate some support, some people who would come in and help you out by taking the individual out into the community or, you know, maybe to a restaurant, maybe to a social club or, you know, basketball game, anything like that, so that it's not all on you. You have to be careful, though, as you start to age, that you have a plan for where your child might go when you can no longer take care of him. And that's why I recommend easing into more of an independent situation where the child is actually at least independent of you, like gets used to sleeping in a different place, because you don't want to just spring it on him when you get close to the end of your life.
I am fascinated about what we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation, which is why we haven't been talking about this for a long time. in the sense of that we focus so much on childhood that we don't spend a lot of time on adulthood.
It's really interesting to me, too, that all of a sudden it seems like the general public is realizing, hey, these guys are growing up. It didn't just go away. And so, you know, we have to all do some planning because there's so many more people who have been accurately diagnosed in this era, and they need the supports to be successful. They're in the schools. They're going through school and really learning many, many skills that we've never seen before in this population. And they're going to be out in the world needing jobs, needing things to do that like everyone else. And so I feel like it's all at once that people are talking about it. And I feel like, well, my book is one of the first ones that's going to help some people get through it.
Well, the name of the book is Autism Adulthood, Strategies and Insights for a Fulfilling Life. The book is published by Skyhorse Press. Susan Senator, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks. Sure.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Autism Adulthood by Susan Senator. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.